Today on Real Radio.
We often as Christians get up and we pray, Lord, just keep me right in the middle of your will. God, keep me from sinning today. Lord, do a work in my life. How many of us get up and say, Lord God, I pray that I don't get rich today. Lord, prevent me from getting wealthy today. Nobody does that.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the two letters written by the Apostle Paul to Timothy. We're in chapter 6, a passage that is really valuable in that it is a set of instructions, really, on conduct of the believer. Specifically, we're to flee the trappings of this world. Our teacher has titled this presentation, The Secret to Godly Living. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Paul says, but you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you have also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I urge you, in the sight of God who gives life to all things, Jesus Christ, who witnessed a good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep this commandment. We're going to stop right here for now. Paul is speaking to Timothy about having a church that is healthy, that is working right for God. He has been exhorting him, if you're new to this book, then you're kind of coming in right at the end. But for those of you who have been here, this has been a book to ministers. And we're all ministers according to Jesus. We minister to our neighbors. We minister to those that we work with. We can be with somebody in an outing and just by our very lives be ministering to somebody. All of us came from a background that was outside of Jesus. We were people who lived lives our own way. We did our own thing. We handled life the way we thought it was. At least I did. I did my own thing. I was the captain of my own ship. And then it started to sink. And I want to preface this message this morning because you guys have been blessed by guest speakers. I listen to their tapes. But you know what? I pastor here. Now I got to give you the meat and potatoes of stuff. These precious guest speakers can come in and pump us all up and be on their way and praise God for them. Now we got to get down to the nitty-gritty again. And this message has no frills to it. This message is one that challenges our lives as believers. And if you're a non-believer this morning, you need to listen because Jesus wants to take your life and make a radical change in it for the good. And it's awesome what he does. And so as we look at this, I want to bring your heart and mind back to some things. This whole chapter is really founded on verse 6, 1 Timothy 6:6, where it says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." Now, why did Paul say that? Because that "but" in verse 6 is in opposition to all the things that he was mentioning, and specifically in verse 5, he's talking about people that you can turn on your TV. False teachers who have all the pomp and glory and all the great ministry and cameras and all the great works that you can see, and here they are feeding a little baby in Africa, and they make sure the camera's right there so you can see them, and then they turn around and ask you to walk by faith. Have faith. And they ask you to exercise your faith by sending them money. And I say, no, don't send them a dime. Let them operate in faith. Let them trust God. And Paul speaks to Timothy about it. And he says in verse 5, they're useless wranglers, or wranglings of men, their speech, of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, of bucks. From such people, withdraw yourself. Turn away from them. Stay away. It's not Christ-like. in exact opposition, he now comes into verse 6 and he says, but in rebuttal to that, godliness with contentment is great gain. And we're going to look at that. And if you think in your heart, well, I don't have to worry about this. You know what? Yes, you do. Because you and I live in Southern California and we've been shot with it. We hear the hype and stuff about success and all. And we're just going to take a Christian look at these things. Now, a Christian can have a Lexus. A Christian can have a Beamer. A Christian can have... That's not his point. He's talking specifically about things that need to govern our lives down deep inside. And we're going to look at that. So, in verse 6, you see where he says, but godliness? This word godliness is a word that we can simply translate as godlikeness. The things that characterized Jesus. A simplicity. Also, it refers to a good, wholesome, godly way of living. Godliness. Godliness with contentment is great gain. This word contentment is an inward sense of sufficiency. He says that these things, if they're put together, establish great gain. And you see that word great in your Bible? It is the Greek word megas, or mega. It means in total abundance, in absolute greatness of height, width, depth, and breadth of something. So listen, godliness with contentment is great, great gain. In our hearts in Southern California, even Christians is, well, I don't want to hear this. And that's why I warned you before we got in this message. This is not so much meat and potatoes. This is vegetables. I mean, who wants to hear this? But we've got to hear it. And I'm the one that brings the tidings this morning of it. But it's a superabundance of contentment. How many in this room are absolutely contented in their heart? If anyone raises their hand, you will expose yourself. None of us are fully content. We ought to be, but we're not. We pursue things. Oh, if I just had that bigger house. Or you're sitting there, you know, with your car, and this thing drives by. Oh, God, if I had one of those, I could get to church faster. And you go home and, you know, you drive your jalopy up to the, you know, and you've been fine with it ever since, but you know, before that, and you pull up and you park your car and you come in and the kids, you know, you think you're innocent, you're going to sit down and be cool, and you're watching a cartoon, and the commercial for the cartoons now has, have you driven a Ford lately? Well, no, but let me look at this Ford you have on the screen. And all of a sudden, man, you look out the window and there's this thing sitting there. And you become very discontented all of a sudden. The Madison Avenue hype in front of us, man, it causes our heart to be stolen away. We get sold on advertisements. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Now you might say, why do I need this vegetable message? I don't like vegetables. I don't like this. I'd rather get up and go. Somebody already did. They got up and left a moment ago. Hey, I want it, but not this way. Well, listen. With contentment in our hearts, we will experience in our life peace. Once peace is in our hearts, we'll have stability. Now, that's a key word in this day and age in which we live. We don't know what's going to happen. Everything's up and down, the cost of this, the price of that. The market could crash tomorrow. If you're content in godliness, it doesn't matter what the market does. It doesn't matter if somebody comes in and robs your house tonight. You're content. It's God's. He owns it. He's loaned it to me. I'm His. Now, we'll nod our heads at that in a message, but boy, it's another thing when we live it. Are we content? Is God enough in our lives? Is He really enough? Paul the Apostle says in Philippians 4:11, I have learned in whatever state I am therewith to be content. There is a thing called positional godliness and situational godliness. Positional and situational in your situation. And we're going to look at that because that's exactly what Paul's referring to in Philippians 4:11. Now, first of all, positional godliness. If you're a Christian, if you've given your heart to Jesus, you've come to Him, You've given your life over to him. The Bible says that God now owns your life. He owns you. And he loves you dearly too. Let me say that. He owns you, but he loves you. I saw a big truck drive by. Beautiful thing, custom, big 18-wheeler. And it said, owned and operated by Jesus. And that's good. That's the way I want to be. Owned and operated by Jesus. But this thing about positional godliness is like this. It is God-given. Romans 4, verse 6 says, David also describing the blessedness of the man to whom God does not credit his life with sin, but credits his life with righteousness, not according to works. Romans 4, 6. Romans 5, 18. Even so, by the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men to justify our lives. Free, given by Jesus. That's positional godliness. Look, I don't know how you feel as a Christian. Did you blow it today? Maybe you're chewing on your wife or your dog or something on the way here this morning, your family. And you get here this morning, you don't feel too up on going to church and all. God loves you. It grieves his heart, yes. And you're grieved too when these things happen. But positionally, you stand before God and I don't quite understand it. Don't have me explain it. I can't. It's the great miracle of the atonement. But God looks at you if you're in Jesus, and you've heard the little story that you tell your kids. He looks at you with Jesus glasses on, you know? He sees you in holiness, in godliness, the Father does. He looks down and he goes, there goes my little Paul. There goes my little Jack. And I'm on this end of the spectrum. I'm going, boy, I'm a little knucklehead, man. I keep goofing up as a Christian. I keep making mistakes. And the Lord just looks down. And he loves us. In fact, our Father, it says, pities us as his children. He's gentle and loving towards us. But positionally, he sees us holy and clean. James 2:23, it says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed or given to him for righteousness. You see? God doesn't say, well, today you're righteous, and boy, tomorrow you're not. It's given by God. It's there, given by him. And then finally in Romans 6:23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. It's given by him, but you have to receive him. Now, enough of the positional, and I think if you know your Bible at all, you have a good understanding of that. I want to look at the situational godliness, and that's what Paul's speaking about. And in the context of the study this morning, it's not loving money. He says in verse 10, for the love of money. Note, it's not money. Money is arbitrary. It's nothing. It can be used for good or evil. Doesn't matter. It's neutral. It's the love of it. It's the love of money, and that's what he's going to speak about. He says this, he goes on, look at verse 9. He says, but those really who desire or will to pursue money or wealth, to be rich, fall into temptations and in the snare and in many foolish, harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Charles Spurgeon tells a story, and it's rather sad. He says, I have heard from a friend of a stewardess who was upon an American sailing vessel. He wrote this 100 years ago. Who, when the ship was sinking, saw heaps of gold scattered around the cabin floor by those who fled from the ship in confusion to their escape. She gathered up large quantities of money and wrapped it around her waist and leaped into the water. She sank like a millstone as though she had studiously prepared herself for destruction. The poor woman, the rich poor woman. Greed. Paul says, man, there's people that drown themselves in perdition by the love of money. And there's people pursuing that, and we get caught up into that stuff. How many of us, and boy, when I was in engineering, making all this money, I'm running, boy, we're on the 12th hour now, going into double time and all this stuff, and all of a sudden, you know, I love to be with my family, but you look at the clock, and then you start doing your math, and you're going, whoa, this could be pretty good. And then the phone rings, and it's like 8:35 at night, Friday. And it's my girl on the other end of the phone. Daddy, when are you coming home? In a moment, we'll be leaving. Well, it's an hour's drive, you know, for one thing. And we get caught up into that. We begin to divorce ourselves from things that really count for the pursuit of wealth. And then we try to justify it by saying, I'm just providing for my family. Yeah, well, we ought to provide for our families. If we don't provide for our families, the Bible says we're worse than an unbeliever. But when is provision enough and extravagance? When does that kick in? To when we begin to neglect our families. And then, families often, when this happens, they begin to neglect their fellowship with you and with me and with church. And then you don't see them for a month or two. And they've been away from the Lord. And the end is worse than the beginning for them. And it's hard. And so people, by nature, we do this. Verse 10, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed. Listen, this is serious. Strayed from the faith. Did they have faith in God? It says here they did. Can you stray away from God? It says here you can. They strayed away from God in their greediness and pierced themselves through. You see that word pierced in the Greek? It means to stab yourself over and over repeatedly for the pursuit of wealth. And they're sorrowing and they're broken now because of their pursuit of a higher paying job. They'll sacrifice their family. And we gotta understand that when the Lord is guiding your home, he will provide for your home. Now, I'm not saying, what are you expecting me to do, Jack? Just sit there and the ceiling's going to open up and the peanut's going to fall out of the, or a roast is going to descend out of the attic. No, it could. Anything's possible. I told you before about the man in China. Calvary Chapel was sending a bunch of food to him to distribute to the underground church there, to the people, because they were starving. And he kept giving away all the food. He didn't have anything left for himself. And the guy sat down there, and he said, Lord, I'm hungry. There's nothing here to eat. I'm not complaining. But if you want to feed me, I'm just happy to get something. And the man heard a scurrying in the walls, and out through the crack of the wood came this big rat. And he thought, Lord, that's not what I had in mind. This is true, by the way. It was documented because it kept happening, and some people watched this happen. And the rat looked at the guy, turned around, and walked away. The rat came back a couple minutes later with this huge yam. And the guy ate the yam. And he had a yam a day for like 8 days until another shipment of food came by this rat. Isn't that cool? I think that's pretty neat. If you're starving, you think it's really good, you know? But Jesus warned us about these things. Look, I know this morning I'm stepping on toes. I love you. And I know how it can be, because I've been there. And I only tell you this because Jesus is telling us this through the scriptures because he loves you and he wants the best for you. So just hang on, okay? Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 18, starting at verse 18, and you know the story well. It's a sad story. It says there, now a certain ruler asked Jesus, saying, good teacher, what shall I do? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus went on to say, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Don't murder anybody. Don't steal. Don't lie about things. And honor your mom and dad. And he said, all these things I've done since I was a little boy. And so Jesus heard these things that he said, and Jesus responded to him and said, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come and follow me. But when he heard this, now this is, Mark's gospel tells us that he's young and he's rich and he's a ruler. This guy is Joe Yuppie. I mean, he pulls up with his donkey and it's got cool rims on it, you know? And he's talking to the Lord and he's going, you know, I want eternal life. And Jesus isn't slamming him for his possessions. He begins to probe into his heart because those possessions possessed his heart. They owned him. And that's why Jesus went right for the throat in a very loving way. In fact, Mark's gospel says that Jesus became real sad and sorry about this rich poor man's condition. So he says, go and sell all these things. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was a very rich man. And when Jesus saw it, he became very sorrowful, and he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Job said, naked I came into the world, naked I'm going. Jesus says, yes, these things are true. So much so that if you have wealth, that's great. Use it for the kingdom of God. If you don't have wealth, don't lust after it. Use your position for the kingdom of God. But one thing is certain, all of us are investors. We are laying things up into heaven by what we're doing with our lives, or not. Jesus is simply saying, invest what you have for things that are going to last. We have a financial planner here at the church. I pray for him. He has the responsibility, and I thank God I don't. People come in with their wealth and say, I want to make more. And it's his job to find places where they can make more money. That is a heavy responsibility because, boy, you lose a dime with somebody and they'll shoot you, you know. That's a heavy responsibility. Jesus says, I understand the laws of giving and the laws of receiving. Lay them up in heaven. Lay your treasures up in heaven. Somebody once said, you can't take your wealth with you, but you can lay it up in heaven. So when you get there, it will be there in the way of good works and godly living for God. And so he makes a very interesting statement. Now, this, and listen here, you know why wealth is such a bummer to our souls and to our spirit? We often as Christians get up and we pray, Lord, just keep me right in the middle of your will. God, keep me from sinning today. Lord, do a work in my life. How many of us get up and say, Lord God, I pray that I don't get rich today. Lord, prevent me from getting wealthy today. Nobody does that. Are you kidding? Oh, Lord. Now, you know, I got a lot of clients today, and I could really make some big sales today. So God, lay it on me, you know. Lord, bless me. But Charles Spurgeon says this, that the deceitfulness of wealth and riches is most neglected in the life of a Christian because we do not see it as an evil.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, where Paul advises the reader on conduct of the believer. It's a presentation called The Secret to Godly Living, and we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Remember, if Real Radio is part of your daily routine, we'd like to hear from you. Either call, click, or write. When visiting us at realradioactive.org, just click where it says Send Us a Message. If you'd like to learn what others have written in, click the tab that says Reaction. Again, realradioactive.org. Our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO. 877-RR-RADIO. Or for the cost of a stamp, you can do it the traditional way. Write us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Of course, if you missed any of that information, simply visit us at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.